if she now doesn't have a baby and there's no like tragedy as to why she doesn't, like her whole life is over.
Right.
She has to move and change her name.
But that's what she wanted. Because you get a lot of attention when you're a pregnant, like mom to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Parties. Yeah. Someone buys her this god awful ugly high chair earlier.
Oh, I know. At a tag sale or whatever. God. But the point is, something is going to happen. Hi, Julian Bizzavelli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
Girl, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're talking about Maternal Instinct on Netflix.
I've been dreading this a little bit.
Yeah, same. It's a horrible, horrible story.
Yeah.
And we got to dive into it.
I haven't known Tater but just a couple months. She hits me with, I'm pretty sure I'm pregnant.
Coming from a small town, you can trust easy.
But I just begin to worry. Something's just not right.
I said, did you go in with her to the clinic?
She said the doctor had an emergency or he couldn't meet us.
So many things did not add up.
I mean, they were buying cars, cattle. Someday she was going to be this millionaire.
I mean, that's what she told us.
All people see is this loving, happy relationship. Why would you not believe it?
For a demon like her, hell would be easy.
It's October 9th, 2020. We're in DeKalb, Texas. We hear a 911 call, and a frantic woman is in a car saying that she's just delivered her baby in the front seat of the car on the side of the road.
And now, unrelated to the call, because she's driving so erratically, she gets pulled over by a state trooper.
Right. And so it switches to the body cam. And we see the body cam of the trooper approaching this woman in the car. She's literally holding the baby. Now, the baby is blurred out. Thank the Jesus.
God.
Thank the Lilith Fair gods. It's blurred out.
Goddess, thanks.
But she needs to get to a place called Idabel where her husband is. Like, this woman is kind of a frantic mess. And she sort of goes back and forth between being a mess and being not a mess.
Well, there's no sense of urgency from the trooper.
Right.
Zero.
Yes.
EMS finally arrives. They put her on a stretcher. They ask her how old she is. Did you check her answer? Her answer?
What did she say?
She was like,
how old did you say you was?
27.
27?
I think I was born in 92.
Okay. So you was on your way to Idabel to have the baby?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I was born in 92. I'm like, you think? What is going on here?
I can see in a moment like that about being like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not really sure.
But like the medics also don't have a sense of urgency. There's a lot of like high-pitched okays. Like, yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty clear to everybody that something pretty suspicious is happening here. Yeah. Number one, she says that she just delivered this baby. There's no blood on this woman.
No,
there's
she's wearing pants.
She's wearing pants.
She's wearing pants.
As though she delivered the baby and got redressed.
She's wearing pants.
Can you imagine like if she really had delivered that baby in the car, there would be blood everywhere.
Yes.
The umbilical cord is still attached to the baby.
Yes.
And that, my big note here is that you can just tell that the cops just don't believe her.
Yeah, like instantly, right?
There's so much in this documentary about like people not being able to fathom the truth. Because if she didn't just deliver this baby, what the hell is going on here?
Well, I have a question about what the hell is going on here at the hospital
that
we're at.
Right, because next we cut to the body cam footage at the hospital.
It is October 2020.
Yeah.
Not a mask in sight.
Oh, man.
No.
You're so good at clocking the COVID era. I always forget.
October.
I thought I would never forget, by the way.
No.
I thought I would live in that hell for the rest of my life.
I still had to look up like, wait, like we didn't get the vaccine until 2021.
Yeah.
So October of 2020, the woman who called 911 isn't wearing a mask. The trooper isn't wearing a mask. Nurses aren't in masks. The doctor who sees her is not wearing a mask. I see two out of like five EMS people not wearing masks.
I was wearing like three masks walking down the street outside.
I counted three masks at the hospital and 15 people without a mask. There are also no COVID.
Wait, hang on a second. You like paused it and counted the people. You were like, oh, not on my fucking watch.
I'm crazy about it. No, not on my fucking watch. It's October 2020. And also there's just no COVID protocols at all. No plastic, no distancing, no separators, no gloves.
Fam, for those of you who like live in areas that it was like where it was like that, for those of us who followed the letter of the law, leaning out the window, banging the pots and pans for the healthcare workers.
We were washing our groceries, like getting boxes of granola bars and washing the outside of it.
We like didn't leave our house for weeks. And then when we did, we're wearing that. Like those of us who really followed the protocol, we really fucking suffered.
And to see this in a hospital is incredibly jarring.
That's crazy.
Like everyone's walking in and out of the hospital like COVID doesn't exist. No gloves, no mask. And even like,
I'm going to stay mad about this forever.
If you're like it, like, seeing anyone at all and there's a baby involved, wear a fucking mask,
I know,
COVID or not.
I know.
It's a whole thing. And they make it clear later.
Yeah.
But she was pulled over in Texas, but this hospital is in McCurtain County, Oklahoma.
Yes.
So we are like 35 miles away.
So the woman with the baby is like, we're hearing either a cop or a doctor or a nurse saying to another cop,
she's in there. She refuses to have a vaginal check to make sure she's not hemorrhaging. They've done an ultrasound and HCG, and it doesn't show that she's been pregnant. Okay. They have the placenta.
Where is she?
She is in the room.
And she shows no signs of having been pregnant.
But she has a placenta.
And a baby!
And everyone's like, don't let her leave. Like, no. It's getting real jumpy.
Okay, like, you should, like, I don't think pregnant women who've just given birth can walk. Like, the idea that we're discussing the fact that she could leave if she wanted to tells us something.
I'm sure, like, but someone's like, this is a big deal. Like, they know instantly.
Something is wrong.
And, like, I'm like, oh, everyone can hear each other clearly because there's no masks and no distancing. Anyway.
Perfect articulation.
Like,
I know.
Go and watch it again and you'll be like, oh my God.
I'm telling you, I'm going to stay mad forever. Like, I wore a mask to the gym. Like, when I would get it, like, you'd be in the gym in my building by myself on the treadmill wearing a mask. You know how awful that was?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lived
Texas
it.
Texas doesn't.
Oklahoma?
This I know.
This hospital's in Oklahoma. Anyway, we have bigger fish to fry. I'm just saying.
Much bigger.
It was very jarring to me to see. I was like, does that say October 20 on the screen? And is everyone just like hanging out, shaking hands and blowing out birthday fucking
candles?
I know.
Yeah, and you call it every time and good because I want to die mad about this shit.
Well, good
thank
luck.
You. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Thank
you're
thank
welcome.
You so much.
But everyone's like, is there anything you want to tell us? Like, do you promise you gave birth? And then the doctor goes, it does not look like she had a baby down there. This hospital scares me.
I know.
The way they're, scares me. I'm
the
so sorry.
The doctor walked in and walked out in 10 seconds.
Right. Maskless.
Maskless. That
but
is
like,
true.
Doing,
no, I know,
doing
I know.
That kind of exam on someone.
Yeah.
Hello.
I know.
But he goes, this does not look like she had a baby down there. And I'm like, this hospital is like a fake hospital. I'm so sorry. But then we get the title card that says Maternal Instinct, and it is 100% supposed to make you think of Mommy Dearest.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
With the script and the whole thing.
I am not one of your fans!
I didn't, like, super appreciate that.
No, this is a very well-made documentary, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I just have a long list of things that make me really upset.
Girl, Home Chef is back. Our Home Chef box came today, and I got to tell my neighbor all about it, about how, like, when you have Home Chef, you never need to worry about what's for dinner. It's always something delicious and easy to make.
Yeah, people really love it, including us. Home Chef is rated number one by users of other meal kits for quality, convenience, value, taste, and recipes.
And let me tell you, if you are like everybody and you've got one of those busy schedules, this is for you. They've got the 30-minute meals. They've got the oven-ready trays. This is the ones that literally take it out of the bag, you put it in the tray, you put it in the oven. 30 minutes later, you got dinner. They even have a microwave lunch. They have got you covered, girl.
Yeah. And it's not one size fits all.
No.
So my favorite part is going through the over 30 meal options they have every
week. I know
week,
you love that.
Or even like a couple weeks ahead and being like, ooh, now I get to either look forward to something or forget I ordered something delicious and
totally.
Then suddenly here it is at my door.
Also, this one works great for me. Home Chef's GLP-1 friendly meals also make it easy with pre-portioned ingredients and dietitian approved nutritional guidelines. I look at them every single time.
Yeah, they're packed with protein.
Yep.
Everyone needs protein.
Yep.
Rich in fiber, same thing.
Yep.
They help promote fullness and appetite regulation and blood sugar stability without compromising variety and flavor because we need both of those things.
Yeah. So fam, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 50% off and free shipping for your first box plus free dessert for life. Go to homechef.com/TCO.
That's homechef.com/TCO for 50% off your first box and free dessert for life.
Homechef.com/TCO. Tell them.
Must be an active member to receive free dessert.
Do it. You're going to want that. Fam, before we get back to the show, just a reminder, we've got a YouTube channel. If you want to watch our episodes, so many people are doing it. We're at almost 600,000 subscribers on the YouTube.
I don't understand.
I know. It's been about a year. It's been wild. It's been so fun. But, like, people are engaging in the comments there. I watch our videos. They're really fun to watch. Like, you got to see the shenanigans, I think, in real life at least once.
Yeah, and you can always just listen, by the way.
For sure. You can always just listen. We also have a Patreon.
Yes.
With over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes. You get them all the day that you sign up. So, like, you have enough content there for years.
There's a back catalog.
Big back cag.
Yeah, and we also do things like, for example, I'm doing an after party about this very documentary, like things that Netflix left out, whatever. And like, that's going to drop. Like sometimes we do that and it drops the same day the episodes drop. So
if you're listening or watching this right now, that After Party is available at the After Party tier on Patreon right now. Go get it. Jillian worked so hard on these. You did another one for the Mackenzie Schirillo one for The Crash, which was, it's like almost an hour long. It might even be longer.
I think it's like an hour and 15 minutes.
She does these like amazing deep dives and like, it's eye-opening to me. Go check it out. Once again, this OSBI agent is like, girl, where'd you get the baby?
Yeah.
And she's like, insisting that it's hers.
Yeah.
So now we go to a place called New Boston, Texas, population 4,520.
And we meet a Sage fellow.
Can I just say one thing first? Yeah. The very first thing we see is a store called Cowboy Guns. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And once again, like responsible gun owners, blah, like whatever, like fine. It's just when you're not from there, like we were just driving in Florida the other day. Yeah. There are big, enormous crosses on the side. It's culturally just very different. So to see a store called Cowboy Guns.
In Vegas, there's a store that is like porn, guns, liquor. And I'm like.
In a different life, jackpot. That's my kind of store.
Jackpot.
So totally. One of everything, please.
But we meet this guy and he's like.
There's way more good people than there are bad. But that's evil in our land. Evil people do evil things. There is an inner spirit that tries to protect us. Really, really subtle voice. And we don't have enough sense to listen to it sometimes. Most of the time, actually.
And we don't always have enough sense to listen to it. Most of the time, actually. And I'm like, sing it, sister.
But can I say one more thing about that, though?
Yeah, yeah.
There's also, like, an inner voice that tells you, like, everything that you see is bullshit. And I, like, the amount of people not listening to their own common
sense.
You're
telling this to me?
I'm just saying, in this documentary, the number of people, it's one thing to be like, no, that person's not evil. It's another thing completely to have, like, the evidence right in front of you and completely ignore it.
Right.
And that is what this documentary is about.
Right. And so the filmmaker asks, who is Taylor? And some woman goes, Taylor is, long pause, hard to describe. There are so many aspects of her and all of her personalities. Now, I don't know if you noticed this. Taylor, to me, looks incredibly different from picture to picture.
For sure.
She looks like a different person. Yeah. I felt the same way about Mackenzie Schirillo.
Yeah, because I think she's a very vain narcissist. She's fully dressed up in some. She's experimenting with looks.
Lots of filters.
Completely.
But like different personality. Like it comes through. And like I felt the same thing about Mackenzie Shitty Schirillo.
The thing about this woman, Taylor, and I'm not discounting Mackenzie Schirillo on this count. This woman, Taylor, is evil. I'm getting chills saying it. This woman is evil to her core.
Yeah, and she's like Manic Pixie Dream Girl country version.
She came off as a normal country girl. She came off as she was fresh from the country. I mean, like a country hick. And with her looks, a lot of people would kind of flirt with her about it.
She loved attention. Loves attention. Her whole mission in life was to be the pretty girl that caught the eye of a guy.
She's pretty and she's hot, but she loves catching hogs.
Yeah.
And she's like...
She literally loves catching hogs.
Like, we'll get to the hogs.
Hogs are a major part of this documentary.
She's like super hot, but she likes tractors and she's not like other girls because she can get in the dirt. You know, the same old bullshit.
But the thing about that is like, that could be great. You know what I mean? Like,
right, but
like,
she's doing it as like a character.
Totally.
There are so many hot women
who
work on farms who are just like, this is who we are. But Taylor's like presenting herself to be someone... to get a guy.
And then my next one is, woof, it cuts right to Wade. This man wants to be anywhere but fucking here.
Is it hot in here or is it me?
And the filmmaker's like, it's pretty much you,
it's you,
bro.
But also, Wade, we're in Texas.
I know.
You're under the hot lights. You're about to talk about one of the worst things that's ever happened, and you're wearing layers, sweetheart.
I know.
Yeah, it's hot.
Wayne is 100% not the brightest bulb, and also maybe totally culpable here. Like, Wayne is what we would call a character.
I agree. I agree with all of that. I have some theories about Wade that I'll get into once we flesh the story out a little bit more. I also just urge people to sort of use a little bit of the same energy that we bring to every woman we've ever dealt with in an abusive, exhausting relationship. That's all. Like,
okay.
I think Taylor...
Do you see the wheel spinning in my head? I'm like,
The Taylors of the world are fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
They beat people down and it's easier to not fight with them. So I will just say, we've dealt with this a lot.
Listen, you're defending a man, I'll take it.
I'm not defending. Okay. I'm just painting a picture. There are a lot of people who want to come super hard for him. Like, I have zero sympathy for him. him. Like, I understand that. He made terrible decisions.
Yeah.
He is willfully ignorant.
Yeah.
We'll just get into it.
I mean, he's the world's biggest mama's boy who made the one time he didn't listen to his fucking mother was the worst time he ever could have done it.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
2019, Wade meets Taylor.
She seen me at the rodeo and then wanted to know if I was single and wanted to hang out sometime. She was a pretty girl, you know, just kind of lit up the room when she walked in, smiling from ear to ear. I was like, well, it wouldn't hurt nothing to go out to eat or something with her and, you know, see what kind of person she is. And it just kind of went from there.
I hate the rodeo.
Me too. No, I get it. Like, they're abusing animals. I totally understand.
Worst.
But, like, there are moments in this documentary that I'm like, did I miss out on a country life? Should I have been, like, a country gay? You know what I mean? There are moments in my life that I'm like, I could have maybe been on a side-by-side, whatever that is.
Yeah, I mean, you like the heat.
I love the heat. And I don't, like, love the manual labor, but, like, there's something about the whole, like...
The outfits can be kind of cute.
Outfits are cute. We could go line dancing on the weekend. They like to drink. They like their bourbon. The boys are cute. The ladies are gorgeous. Like, there's a part of me that's like, should we move?
I mean, you can take a nice vacation and see how it feels.
See, now this is the kind of thinking I need to, because I'm ready to buy a house in South Texas somewhere and get to work.
No, do some like Yellowstone cosplay.
Oh, that's good.
Find a rip
yeah.
and then you'll be okay.
Okay.
And then see what happens.
Somebody send me some links to a gay campground somewhere in Texas.
Won't that be something?
I'd be careful what you ask
Won't
for.
That
I know.
Be something?
They exist though. They absolutely exist.
Like secretly or are they out
they're,
in the open?
They're not secret, but like you gotta know to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have friends who live in Texas. They are gorgeous blue dots.
Yes,
I'm not painting with a broad
For
brush.
Sure.
I'm just saying. So Lindsay is here. She's Taylor's former coworker. Taylor was smitten. Wade is amazing. But Connie, Wade's mom, says something that I really want to slow down on because I think it could get ignored pretty easily
yeah.
or like driven by.
She just kind of came out of nowhere, you know, but she was pretty crazy about him. It was important to her to make him happy. And I could see why Wade would be attracted to her.
She goes, she just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yes.
And I think that's really
yes.
important
yep.
here. Like, it stuck out to me.
No, that's a good note. And I also wanted to say that, like, I think that she thinks she's just going to dazzle this guy, Wade. And Wade is only like, I don't know, people said she was nice. She's kind of pretty. I thought it couldn't hurt to take her out to dinner. I want to know what it is about Wade that made her pick him.
Well, I know exactly.
Tell me.
Well, one of the big lies that we're about to get to is why.
Okay.
The money.
But I'm just thinking, like, did she just think he was an easy mark?
Yes.
Like, she just figured that he would do whatever she said? Because I'm not even really sure what her objective is at the start.
What she's doing is she's love bombing Wade, and she's also love bombing his friends.
Yes.
And she's being very, like, gregarious. She's introducing herself. She's great at a party. She's a great date.
Yeah.
And so she's sort of, like, enmeshing herself in his life. Very, very, I mean, within a week.
And she's doing that thing where, like, she's like, they're going hunting together. She's literally helping him catch feral hogs.
We will get into the feral hogs.
Okay, promise.
More in the after party, but I promise we will. They are fucking brutal, dangerous, violent. They need to be stopped.
Fine, but promise me when I move to Texas, you'll come down and open a gay bar with me called Feral Hogs.
Sure.
We have
the feral hog?
The feral.
Or feral hogs. Or
no.
Do you want many?
Mm.
Because then if it's the feral hog, let's go down to the hog.
Yeah, okay, great.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's head down to the hog.
The hog. All right, the feral hog. But we got to do it.
The feral hog.
Yeah.
Great.
We did it.
Roger, Wade's friend, the sage fellow from earlier.
Yeah.
He is like, oh, Taylor's telling everyone her family's fucking loaded. They have oil money.
Yeah. And that's kind of my thing, too, is like that's people with money like that don't talk about it.
Well, and she doesn't have it yet. She's going to inherit it from her grandparents.
Maybe.
Then she told me that her mother was fighting with her about money. That money she wasn't actually getting, but someday she was going to be this millionaire.
And that's what she told us. Her mother was going to get her cut completely out of all the money. She wasn't going to get nothing. She hated her mother. Her mother hated her.
Taylor hates the mother, and the mother hates her right back even harder.
The mother's mission in life, according to Taylor, is just to keep Taylor from getting any of that oil cash.
Right. That's it. That's her whole thing. Her mother's a monster. She's trying to steal my money. Now,
yeah.
Wade, the boyfriend, is like...
He's exhausted. He's exhausted before they even started. It's hot in there, according to Wade.
Right.
It's a mountain to climb for us. It's a mountain to climb for him.
This kind of life, this kind of relationship is exhausting. Like,
yeah.
Get out now. Run. If someone that you are dating is like this, the endless fucking drama, just run.
No, but here's the thing. And this is the beginning of Wade's culpability. Nobody is running away from $8 million. Like, Wade would have let her beat him with a shovel for $8 million.
Major reason why we're here.
And she knows it, and he knows it, and, like, that's the unspoken social contract between the two of them.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And that's very clear.
And we see it all the time. People let themselves be treated so poorly, you know, in abusive situations. Like, we've covered this time and time again. Money is the thing that will make people put up with anything.
And that's what we have here.
Yeah. Girl, Rocket Money is a sponsor this week.
Yeah, we love Rocket Money.
I love Rocket Money. I was thinking about it last night when I went to bed because it's a finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions. And I was like, I need to, like, I have it on one credit card and I need to put it on others because I'm like, I'm paying too much, girl.
Yeah, because Rocket Money can track the subscriptions.
Yes.
So you can see it all on the dashboard, which I love. Everything's in one place. So you can see, am I using that? Is that one worth it? Like, see what you're using, the frequency, how much everything costs.
Well, and also the app consolidates checking, savings, loans, investments into one single dashboard to give users a clear view of their financial picture. And so, like, for me, I need everything in one place so I can see everything all at once, or else I will only look at one thing and then turn it off.
Yeah. So you can set, like, budgets and goals. You can get, like, personal insights, regular reports on what you're spending.
They also do automated savings so you can help. Like, if you need that extra push to, like, build that savings account, that automated savings feature really is kind of incredible.
Yeah, it's one of those set it and forget it things.
Exactly. So, fam, like we said, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps you find and cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
That's rocketmoney.com/obsessed.
rocketmoney.com/obsessed. It's October 2019. All of a sudden, Taylor's dead broke because that greedy, evil bitch of a mother has won, it seems. I don't know what she's won, but she's won and the inheritance is all gone. So Taylor moves out of the house she was renting and she decides that the best idea for her protection is to live with Wade. And I'm like, this is feeling very like, oh no, my enemies are after me.
Yo,
you have to protect me. You're a big, strong man.
Yes. Yeah. And it is like Wade gives up his agency very quickly because Wade is the one who tells us she decided. It wasn't like we decided to move in together or I asked my girlfriend to come. She decided she was moving in.
It was the best idea for everybody. And Wade's mom is like,
it was kind of strange that she didn't seem to have a lot to store and just kind of travel light, you know.
Taylor traveled real light.
Yes.
She didn't have a lot with her. She doesn't have any friends.
Except for those two kids.
The two kids. Okay.
And we only learn about one of them.
There's a daughter they see sometimes and a son that she barely sees at all. And like no one talks about him. I'm very worried.
We don't even know if they're from the same other co-parents.
I'll get into it in the after party.
So, okay.
But we don't learn anything about them here.
Fam, the after party is dropped right now. It's out. Go listen to it.
Yeah.
We haven't recorded it yet, but I can't wait to find out.
It's just like that. It's not, we'll be okay not talking about it in this story.
Okay,
do you know what I mean?
Yep, but yeah.
The point is that she's a shitty mother to the two kids she has because she is not present in their lives at all.
Well, and even when they're visiting, because Wade's mom says that, like, even when the kids were there, she was much more interested in Wade than the kids. Everyone is saying that Taylor did everything for Wade. She cooked, she cleaned. Wade, like, is so thrilled to have a hot, delicious meal waiting for him on the table when he gets home.
She pulled her weight, he says.
She pulled her weight.
Things he didn't even need asking for. Now, I just want to stop real quick. This doc is incredibly upsetting for many reasons.
Yeah.
For me personally, one of the many reasons is I just found the treatment of animals very upsetting.
Yeah.
Like there are dogs that look starving, that are kept in cages, that like we see, that don't get any affection that we see. We see Wade just like throw food in front of it. All it wants is some love and acknowledgement and like it's not getting it.
You're looking at me. I hug Golden all the time. I promise you I do.
Like the horse at the rodeo, this like sweet little calf later on. Call me a sheltered New Yorker all you want. I just don't like seeing that.
No.
What? That's all. I just don't like it.
Who is having an issue with you being like, hug your fucking dog?
Because a lot of people, I'm sure, will say, I've heard it before, where it's like, well, you're not fucking from here, and this is how farmers do shit, this is how animals are treated.
I
like,
can't imagine having like 50 pigs and also needing a dog.
Well, the pigs are different. The pigs like must be stopped.
Wait, what? We can't even have pigs?
Not these feral hogs.
Oh, right. Okay.
We'll get to that.
Did you see the way she said, not these feral hogs?
These feral hogs like need to be like destroyed.
What?
I'm learning about them.
Opinions expressed by individuals on this podcast are only their own.
The feral hogs are like, they're not a nuisance. They're not a menace. They're more than that. We'll get into it a little
you
bit here.
You hate them.
I learned the
feral hogs.
I don't like their attitude.
There should be a gay kickball team called the Feral Hogs.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Not one.
I mean, they're huge. Yeah. I learned a lot.
Okay.
Anyway, another twist, though, is that the evil mother has been ousted from the family because she's so evil to Taylor.
Yeah.
And you know what that means, though? The money's going to start rolling in.
They done bought a $20,000 side-by-side, done bought him a $60,000, $80,000 tractor, and now done went and bought an $87,000 truck. I mean, money's got to be coming from somewhere, you know?
$8 million Taylor's got coming to her. They're buying everything, cars, side-by-sides. What's a side-by-side?
A side-by-side is, quote, a small off-road vehicle with at least two seats next to each other.
See, this sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
We drive around the back country when you come to visit.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
An $80,000 tractor, a $100,000 truck. They're spending money like it's water. They get a new Nissan Altima for Wade's mom.
Yeah, even Connie, who, like, takes a minute to be convinced later, even Connie in this moment was like, I kind of like the car.
Thanks for the car.
Thanks for the car, girl.
But the biggest thing.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is the ranch.
Wade always wanted a ranch, and now Taylor's going to buy it for him. And now here's another person who is just so willfully blind to all of the obvious signs. Rusty, the real estate guy.
Well, commission, girl.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, and, you know, his partner, whatever her name is, says eventually that, like, a lot of people from around here don't look like they can afford multi-million dollar ranches, but they can afford many. I'm not saying judge a book by their cover.
I do love that, where it's like, sometimes people don't look the way you think they're going to look.
Yeah.
Which I get, but she's a monster.
But they start to just get the evidence that none of this is real, and they just refuse to believe it.
Well, so Rusty and Renee Lowe are real estate agents. Taylor calls them asking about this, I mean, enormous property. It's 1,700 acres. It's a sprawling, I found the listing. It's stunning.
It's called Pecan Point.
Pecan.
Oh.
Pecan.
Pecan. Pecan be kind to the hogs.
Pecan. Nevada and Oregon are the hills I'm going to die on.
L-A-U-N-D-R-Y.
Wandering. Did that even come out at all? He wants it to be a, quote, local sportsman's paradise, which is means hunting. That's like...
I just, like, it's called Pecan...
Pecan.
Pecan
Point. The big
point.
Ranch. We don't have to talk about
Once
it
again,
longer.
Imagine Pecan Point at Christmas time. I'm moving there. I'm going to get on Zillow as soon as I get home. I'm going to the South. I'm opening Feral Hogs, starting the kickball team.
Well, here's how we can get into the hogs. Rusty says that Wade was very, very, very interested in the local feral hog population.
That is like the weirdest sentence we've ever said on this podcast. And that is saying a lot.
They breed like crazy. They're dangerous. They can be as big as cows.
She hates them so much. They can be as big as cows?
They cause like millions of damage in property. They eat other animals. They're destroying the agriculture and the ecosystem.
Hang on a second. There are pigs out there in the wild. And I know they're not pigs. They're hogs. That's probably different.
They're hogs.
They can be as big as cows.
They're hundreds of pounds. They're huge. They're
terrifying.
Fast. They're fucking smart. So they get out of traps. And guess who brought them over?
Who?
Christopher Columbus.
Oh, my God.
Added to the list.
So, okay. But they're just out there in the wild.
I promise I will tell you everything about them.
During
the after party.
We have to wait till the after party?
They've been here since Christopher Columbus brought them over, then they...
Okay, save it for the after party. I'm
gonna have a lot of questions. But okay. I'm telling you, like, they need to be stopped. Hunting is one way to do it.
So and suddenly you are a hunter?
I'm not a hunter.
Okay.
But I don't like what they do, all the damage, and they carry diseases.
This is the give and take.
But John Oliver, we'll get into it.
Okay.
But hunting doesn't really help, is what I'm told. But like the reason, like there are no real laws about hunting them because they're that destructive.
This is crazy. Okay, I have so many questions.
Anyway, they make an offer on the $4 million property.
My initial impression was that she probably had some family money. She certainly indicated that and was ready to make an offer. $4 million, I believe. She was adamant that she was going to pay cash. We were rooting for her.
And Rusty the realtor goes, we were rooting for her. I said, yeah, I bet.
Of course.
#commission.
Exactly. Can I take this part?
Yeah.
Now we go to Christmas 2018 and we see home video footage. Wade and Taylor, but you know this is Taylor. This is Taylor's idea. She's giving this presentation about this $4 million ranch that she's buying for Wade. Everyone in that room is just like, it's doing nothing but making everybody in that room feel bad about themselves. They're trying to be happy for them. This is the most self-centered, they've known each other for like a couple of months.
Two or 3 months.
And she's taking over the family Christmas morning to do a PowerPoint presentation about this $4 million ranch that she's going to buy.
She's just like holding court talking about it.
Yes.
Go back and watch that scene again. Everyone is so over her.
No,
Everyone's cool. Suspicious. There's one guy who's just literally staring at the floor, like just like playing a movie in his head so he doesn't have to hear her
mouth
again.
Did you clock Wade's hot brother? That's the only time I'm going to say.
The friend who's like, well, Merry Christmas to y'all.
Totally.
He's like, okay.
I was like, whoa, I'm moving to this town.
But again, it's like, who is she? She just came in like the Tasmanian devil. And now she's like the money and the this and the that and then the ranch. And it's like Wade's like, all right, everyone is just along for the ride. And they're instantly over her.
And because they're Southern and polite, they're too nice to be like, this is a bad look. Like, this is so rude.
Right.
Can you imagine spending your Christmas morning with somebody giving a presentation about the house they're going to buy?
And I'm new?
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. So 3 weeks after they gave Wade's mom the car, Taylor calls Wade's mom, Connie. And she's like, hey, girl, you have to bring the car over to Wade. The dealership is picking it up on a recall. What a bummer. And Connie calls the dealership.
My favorite thing in this documentary is that everybody knows how to use the phone. There's a lot of calls made in this documentary. Connie calls the dealership and she's like, bitch, what's going on now?
They said, ma'am, that car wasn't paid for. That's why we came and got it. It was repossessed. I said, oh, okay.
No, girl, we're repossessing it.
That car never got paid. The whole thing is Connie is now starting to understand that the money is not there. But Taylor has not said that. The money is not there. And Connie is looking around at like every last side-by-side and $200,000 truck and being like, if Taylor doesn't actually have this money, my son does not. He can't afford this.
And like, is Wade upset? We don't hear like what Wade said about the car, like his mama's car. Like,
right.
What a bummer. But now we're back with the real estate agents. Look, this is a $4 million cash offer.
This is where I start banging my head on the table.
The money is coming from an inheritance. There's a vetting process.
Yes.
They need to verify that the money exists and where it's coming from.
And I'm sorry, Rusty, I'm sure you're good at your job, but like, is this your first day? Because he's like, it was really curious. We started getting calls from like Taylor's lawyers and people, but only at odd hours after the office was closed or on a Saturday morning.
If this was a $30,000 purchase,
right,
they would not be answering the calls, but it's a $4 million cash purchase.
And you know what? Maybe every $4 million cash purchase is shady. I could be convinced that that's the case.
It's all in cash coming from an inheritance. You have to vet this.
Well, but also, Rusty, you got to start to see the writing on the wall. Like, he gets put in touch with this woman named Shelly Links, who oversees the oil lease money.
Shelly at Shelly. .AOL or whatever, Shelly.
And like, Shelly, like, they're emailing her and they're calling her and she's not getting back. And then Shelly sends a bitchy email to them,
kind of reprimanding us for asking too many personal questions about her customer.
Mr. Lowe, bank information is completely confidential.
The clients are not okay with the seller calling their bank and are firm on the decision in that matter. Thank you, Shelly. I mean, I was getting my butt chewed out, obviously, for checking up on her.
How dare you, the real estate person facilitating this $4 million cash sale, call my client's bank and ask questions? And Rusty's like, I got my ass chewed out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but Rusty, like, this is, you have to do that.
Of course. And I think they're doing their due diligence and look. I mean, the money never comes, obviously.
The money never comes. It just takes them too long to, like, really just get with. Taylor was telling everybody what she was doing the whole time. She was telling on herself at every last turn.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to believe it because of the money.
I don't blame the realtors as much because I think everyone's going to hold out hope that the $4 million cash deal is real. They did the vetting.
Yeah.
And then they got like screamed at and the money never came. So they just gave up.
They did. But all I'm saying is it's just another example of people willing to believe anything. Smart people who are good at their jobs, willing to believe anything for the cash.
Yeah. I think they just like when it didn't come through, they were like, wow, we were right. This is shady. Bye.
I guess.
And then never spoke to her again.
They didn't know
anything else about like we're.
But there's no world in which I'd be like being like getting mean emails from like a fake, like I'm the asshole lawyer at AOL.com and not being like, this is bullshit. This isn't real.
But like the drama is continuing. And now because the ranch fell through, Taylor and Wade are fighting.
Because he's only sticking around for the cash.
And now what Taylor's doing, she's talking to his friends about it.
Can I just say, like, they're fighting. Wade and Taylor are fighting. Taylor is desperate to make him love her. The neighbor across the street describes this scene of seeing Wade riding on the tractor and Taylor holding on to him for dear life. Like, I'm just imagining her feet, like, in the breeze.
Right. And, you know, of course, the more possessive and clingy Taylor gets, the more Wade shuts down.
Exactly.
And is not interested.
Girl, ZipRecruiter is back. Can I just tell you, we had the most amazing meal at a restaurant the other night, and it was all because of the server who was so amazing.
The best. And when someone goes above and beyond like that, it kind of makes the whole experience even better.
So fam, if you're hiring, great candidates like the server we had the other night can also go the extra step and tell you why they're interested in your job on ZipRecruiter.
Yeah, it's a great way to stand out from the other candidates. And right now, you can try for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
And get this, ZipRecruiter has a new feature that shows you the most interested quality qualified candidates first, so you meet the right people faster.
And they have this powerful matching technology, which means that they find qualified candidates quickly.
I've used ZipRecruiter for forever. It has always worked out so well for me. I love it so much. So fam, try ZipRecruiter and meet great candidates who'll go the extra step for your job.
4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Been there. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/TCO.
ZipRecruiter. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Wow.
Girl, Ladder is back. I love Ladder so much because this is all about going to the gym and like knowing what to do when you get there. Because that's everybody's biggest problem. You can get there, but then what?
Yeah. And just to be clear, this is not a content library.
No.
This isn't like an influencer workout or those challenges that, as we know, never really work. This is an expert training plan and it has all different kinds of workouts.
Yeah. And it feels like you've got the coach right there with you. So you've got the in-ear coaching guides to get you through every set with cues, form reminders, and motivation. That is huge. Don't get hurt.
Right. And no matter what style you prefer or you do at home, like Pilates or bodybuilding or at-home dumbbell only, which I know a lot of people.
I'm a straight-up bodybuilder.
Right? Kettlebells or pre-postnatal, like whatever you do, wherever you train, home, the gym, there is a plan for you.
And let me just say this because this is important. Ladder now includes nutrition tracking at no extra cost.
There you go.
It's the best.
There you go.
So fam, remove guesswork with Ladder and get a real coach in your ear telling you exactly what to do for every workout. No thinking, everything planned for you.
If you have an iPhone, head to ladder.fit/TCO and take a quick quiz to find your perfect Ladder plan.
Use our link and get a free 7-day trial with no credit card and $10 off your first month if you join.
There you go.
Get that coach in your ear.
Do it. So it's January of 2020. Taylor visits Wade's friend, Angela, who is a chiropractor. And we are told that Taylor's in a very good mood today, which everyone's like, thank God she's in a good mood. She's usually a nightmare.
Well, she's psyched because in her mind, her aura has changed. And she would like this chiropractor to tell her if she's pregnant
now,
based on her aura.
I'm not going to sit here and act like women don't know when something is up with their bodies. And I'm certainly not going to sit here and pretend like mothers can't sense this kind of thing. I have a friend who told me, like, she felt the moment she became pregnant.
But you, in fairness, only know witches.
True. Also, that is not this. This is not that.
No,
it's a different thing. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, weird. Taylor thought something was up with her body. Like,
no,
we know. But I'm sure pregnant people know.
Maybe not getting the confirmation from the chiropractor through the aura.
This is not that.
You know
not
what I mean?
Not the same. One of these apples and oranges.
Yeah. The chiropractor seems great, by the way.
Angela.
Yeah.
Angela takes Taylor to the doctor. Taylor goes in alone.
Yes.
Can't blame COVID yet.
Yep.
January 2020. And even if COVID didn't exist in this town. We saw the maskless.
No, doctors. COVID didn't exist in a lot of places.
Didn't matter. But Taylor goes in alone. Lo and behold, she emerges with a piece of paper saying that she is, in fact, pregnant.
I mean, I like to take stuff slow, not just start jumping from dating 1 month to I'm already pregnant. But Roger was tickled to death. Angela was happy. So if she's pregnant, then I was good with it.
Wade is not excited about this.
No, she's ecstatic. Wade is not.
Wade is not excited. But in February 2020, 7 months until the due date, Taylor wants to do a gender reveal, and it's going to be cow-themed?
Well, she says to Stephanie, now, we're going to meet some people here.
I'm just saying, I'm down for a cow-themed gender reveal.
Well, first she wanted to do hog hunting themed.
Oh, right. I forgot.
And then her friend is like, well, yeah, that or cows. And she's like, ooh, cows.
Let's do cows.
So, you know, I hate gender reveals in general.
Me too, but I've already moved into this town. I can see how it's part of the culture. I like the idea of getting a calf to reveal that it's a girl.
Can you be nice to the calf? Because I don't feel like they're not nice.
If you think if I brought a calf into my house, it wouldn't be Daisy's new favorite pet for the rest of time. Like, it would just live in Daisy's room.
Still got to take care of it, though. That doesn't mean it's being taken care of.
That's a very good point.
If I may.
Yeah.
So we meet Cody and Stephanie, okay? Stephanie, they're Wade's friends. Taylor really glommed on to Stephanie. And Stephanie's like,
big mistake on Taylor's part.
Big mistake, huge.
Yeah.
Stephanie's like, Taylor doesn't have any friends. Like, she has no one to throw this party for her. She's obsessed with me for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, Stephanie's like, why are you so obsessed with me?
Yeah.
Like, you have no friends.
And it's funny, too, because Taylor, we're told, has been really good at just, like, deciding who her friends are going to be and making them be her friends. And Stephanie just doesn't need that. She's the you. Like, it's not going to work on you. It doesn't work on Stephanie.
It's not working.
No.
And so husband Cody's like, sure, we can do a nice thing for this woman who's, like, clearly out of her mind.
Yeah.
And one big rule.
Like, at one point,
we're in, like, the pity portion of the program.
Yeah.
I feel bad for her. Like, she doesn't have any friends. Let's do this hog hunting / cow themed party.
And like, in fairness, Wade didn't seem to have like a ton of prospects. Like, my buddy's gonna get married. Like, this is the one, whatever.
One rule.
Yeah.
do not mention anything about Taylor's bitch evil mother.
Don't. Why are you even mentioning it?
Say it.
I know.
Like, okay, fine, whatever. Drama, too much. So Taylor sends Stephanie the gender reveal paperwork that the doctor sent her.
Once again, befriending Stephanie was a big mistake on Taylor's part.
Well, it has a lot of typos.
Yeah.
It has her date wrong. Remember when she was like, I think I was born in 1992. This says she was born in 1990. There's like a lot of typos. It is our greatest pleasure to I form you.
What?
Lots of typos, but Stephanie is the me because she also notices.
And I'm like looking at this paper really well and I noticed the date on it. And the date on it said 2016. So I call her and I said, are you sure this is the right paper? And she said, let me call my doctor right now.
The date on the paperwork is from 2016. We are in 2020.
How stupid do you have to be to make a mistake like that?
Right.
If you're going to produce shitty, false, fake paperwork saying you're pregnant, you're not going to look at the date?
Do you want to act out the phone call or do you want a one-woman show?
Wait, you do it.
Okay. Here's what happens next. Stephanie's like, this is 2016. Bring, bring. I'm Stephanie.
Yeah.
Hey, girl, is this paper right? Like, why does it say 2016? Taylor, oh my God, what? Hold on. Let me call. 10 seconds go by.
I want like a black card that says 10
like the SpongeBob
seconds
thing,
later.
Like 30 seconds later. Yeah. 10 seconds. Taylor, oh my God, you will not believe this. They had like 200 misprints go out that day, but don't worry, it's definitely a girl. Stephanie's like,
She hangs up. She's like, this bitch is lying.
So March 2020, everyone else is dealing with COVID. No one else here is. It's 6 months until the due date. And it's awkward as fuck because Taylor's the only person excited.
And this is when they do the gender reveal. And it's like
they drag this poor little calf out with a pink bow around her neck.
And it's like an overcast day. No one is excited. Taylor just wants anyone to give a shit. This poor little calf.
You just don't want the kid to throw a tantrum at the party. It just has to be great for Taylor.
Yes.
Because that's all that matters.
That's exactly right.
And so that's it. So they decide to name the baby girl Clancy Gale. People are not liking the name.
Nobody likes it.
Especially Wade's mom. And she was like, and he's like, I've been thinking about the name Clancy for a girl for a long time. And his mom's like, really? I've never once heard you mention that at all.
Or ever wanting children.
Right. And then Taylor's like, well, I'll add the Gale. I'm like, okay. Spell it all weird. Like, I'm surprised it's not like Kaylee spelled with E-I-A-L-Y.
Don't do this. We got a couple of those. We've got Ashley's like that. We've got Kaylee's like that.
But times a million.
Yeah.
Like now it's different. It's like the Ash is like A. It's different. If you spell it... You're talking to Jillian with a G. I get it.
That's true.
I understand. Like, I spell my name with a G. I totally get it. But this is like 10 times over where you're like, what is that
word? It's also like just to be insufferable. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, Taylor, you got enough going for you in that department.
Oh, no question. So now we're back with one of the women we met in the beginning. Her name is Mackenzie Bright. And I was thinking about you because she took the opportunity in her lower third to have it say former friend of Taylor.
She's the one who was like, oh, all of her personalities are hard to describe.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mackenzie, girl, let's go. Tell us everything.
So here's the thing that we have to understand is that Taylor is living with Wade, but like not far from where she used to live. And we're about to learn that she had like a whole separate friend group in that area that is close by. And they're all still connected on Facebook.
I saw pictures of this gender reveal. She had this baby calf and had a pink bow around it. And it was a girl. It made me sick. It made me so sick to my stomach because I knew, I mean, she can't be pregnant. She had a hysterectomy.
Mackenzie knows that Taylor cannot get pregnant because she's had a hysterectomy.
Major bomb has been dropped.
We're going to go to Northeast Texas Women's Health.
So Dr. Chris Mason, he's an OBGYN. He says he met Taylor when she was 17 and had her first child.
Yeah.
Then she had her second child. And after that, Taylor made, these are all quotes by him.
Can I also just say, he says our first involvement with Taylor was in 2010. I'm like, that is quite a way to say that.
Distancing.
Yeah.
Major. But these are all his quotes. He says Taylor made the decision to have, quote, permanent sterilization because she, quote, didn't want to have any more children. He says she was adamant.
Yes.
Okay. So then a year and a half later, Taylor comes back. She has a cyst on her right ovary and an ectopic pregnancy in the left tube. And they're like, you need a hysterectomy. We have to do a hysterectomy.
And that's when they do it. So she, we know her, I don't even know how they're allowed to talk about this, but her doctor is here telling us all the details.
Because it's over.
Oh, I guess.
You know.
But she 100% cannot be pregnant.
She doesn't have a uterus.
She doesn't have a uterus.
You know? So now we get on-screen text.
Yes.
All internet searches are based on court evidence. Fuck.
Because we see actual Google searches that this woman does. The first one is right here, fake ultrasounds.
Yeah. She found a site that lets you like add your name in hospital.
Yeah.
It's also, there's a website called Fake a Baby.
Fake a Baby is a website?
They claim it's for like pranks and TV, film, and theater.
Nope.
No.
This is not that.
No.
You started the wrong business.
Also, what kind of prank is this?
Wait, go open a gay bar called Feral Hogs.
Thank you. The doctors who know her are seeing all of the pregnancy posts.
When we first found out Taylor was saying that she was pregnant and announced it on Facebook, we were very confused because we knew that she could not be. We couldn't publicly say anything about it because we were bound by privacy laws. Unless there is something that's endangering someone else, then we can't break those HIPAA laws.
We were being put in a very difficult position.
They're in a very difficult position because they, and we'll get more into this later, they know that she is unwell.
Yes.
And also, it's such a small town that they all live in. I don't know in what world Taylor thinks she's going to be able to pull this off. Like, she's connected to all these people on social media and just, like, putting out lies that are easily provable.
Yeah. Well, the miscarriage is big drama too, you know? Like
when
she inevitably, I'm sitting here thinking when she inevitably fakes that miscarriage, that's drama. That's definitely going to keep waiting. Can't break up with her now.
Yes. Right? Yes, for sure.
Mackenzie, her friend from like her past life, tells us about her experience with Taylor. Once again, she kind of comes out of nowhere. They're best friends overnight. This is what happens. It's Mackenzie, Taylor, and their friend, Abby.
And they are together 24/7. Now, Mackenzie starts, right? This is like, it's just because of what we do that I recognize what she was saying.
Yeah.
She says, our emotions were very connected. If I was happy, she was happy. If I was sad, she was sad. And I was like,
mirroring.
That's exactly it. I mean, she literally is just like, just becoming these people.
Mm-hmm. And so Taylor was constantly sick. One of the friends is like, there was always something wrong with her and she was always posting about it.
And they're just like constantly posting about her on Facebook. She's always in the hospital. She tells her friends she has MS, then cancer, also a brain tumor, and she had a stroke.
Yeah, and guess what? It's all fucking fake.
But the thing about this too that I was thinking is she's not even trying to like scam people out of money. She's just scamming people out of love and attention.
Attention, that's all she wants. That's all most of these, that's how it starts really.
It's crazy.
And so she's like posting photos with breathing tubes. And then nothing says I'm so sick and unwell than posting the whole thing online.
Yes, and Abby is the first one to call bullshit.
So then friend Mackenzie gets pregnant.
Yes.
After she was told that it would never happen for her.
Right.
So this is a very big deal for Mackenzie.
Yes.
Taylor can't have that. So, and not only is it like a beautiful thing, like, oh, your friend's pregnant, you should be happy. But like, it's a miracle baby because she was told it would never happen. So much love and attention is on Kenzie.
And
can't happen.
Taylor is just, like you said, mirroring it all the time. She says,
she wanted to plan the gender reveal. She wanted to be there for the ultrasounds.
She wanted to know when the appointments were. How was Kenzie doing? How was the baby doing?
She wanted the login to my pregnancy tracking app so that she could watch the progress of my pregnancy.
She wanted the login to the pregnancy tracking app so she could watch the progress of my pregnancy. I don't think that's why she wanted it.
No, it's not. And she went from, Taylor went from supportive friend to psychopath I need to get away from immediately.
Yeah.
Instantly.
I mean, I think that Mackenzie was her first mark.
Yes. She's had many marks. We'll get into it in the after party.
Wow.
She was like hunting. It's disgusting.
That is the sickest use of that word I've ever heard come out of your mouth.
Yeah. And we've said it before.
Yeah, we have for sure.
In horrible ways.
Yeah.
Like, stick to the fucking feral hogs because they had it coming.
Use your hunting for the forces of good and get those fucking feral hogs.
Like, can Christopher Columbus, I hate him so much.
He like had a feral hog in a boat. That sounds very dangerous.
He brought like a wild boar and then they mated with the domestic hogs.
Was it the Nina, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria? Do we know which one?
Go fuck yourself.
Okay.
Christopher Columbus. Right. You were not.
Hey, anyone got that pig on the Nina? Is that what? No, like, it's on the Santa Maria.
You need me to ruin Thanksgiving again?
No,
I'll do it. We
I
have
know.
Too much fish to fry. Too We have bigger fish to fry, and a lot of them, honestly. Truly. We're at a fish fry. So that's what I'm going to start calling things where we have too much to get to. We have to go to the fish fry.
It's a fish fry.
We're going to the fucking fish fry. Put that on the calendar.
It's a set of fish fry. Totally.
And now she's like offering her friends 50 grand at least for the babies and surrogacy and all this.
And this is when I'm like, wait, did Abby and Mackenzie get the same story about the $8 million too? Because like, where do they think the 50 grand is coming from?
I don't think so. I think this is very specific for Wade, the $8 million to buy the ranch. But Abby and Kenzie are like, all right, this is our stop. We're done.
Totally.
Bye.
Yeah.
Stop right here. And then a year or two later, they see that Taylor's pregnant online and they are sick about this.
Yeah, it does seem like the cutting off from Mackenzie and Abby was instant. Like, I think that like enough was enough in one very particular moment.
Yeah, wanting to track the pregnancy being too, not
give
being
me your login to like, your pregnancy app. That is horror movie
and
shit.
And making it about her and the fake illnesses. Like, you cut them off. You go no contact.
Yes. Girl, Jolie is back. This is that shower head that Daisy is obsessed with that, like, makes such a difference for her skin, for her hair. It was super easy to switch out our old one and add our new one. I did it myself.
Yeah, so if you don't know about Jolie, Jolie is a beauty wellness company.
Yes.
And they have a clinically proven filtered shower head designed to remove chlorine and heavy metals, and those things can damage your skin and your hair. So this shower head installs in, like, 2 seconds.
I did it myself.
It fits all showers.
And, like they say, like, before any skincare or hair care routine, Jolie is the baseline because if your water isn't right, nothing else performs the way that it should. Really think about that.
Yeah, and it kind of makes you realize, oh,
yes,
I'm starting my day with a non-filtered water. And where do I go from here?
It's also really cute. It makes Daisy feel really grown up. It's got this really cute, like, chic aesthetic. She feels like she's, like, in, like, a woman's shower now.
Yeah, in, like, one of those luxury spas somewhere in some hotel.
She's obsessed. Fam, you got to try Jolie. Try Jolie risk-free for 60 days by going to JolieSkinCo.com/TCO.
That's JolieSkinCo.com/TCO. Jolie is also available on Amazon and Costco, both online and in-store.
Get it. You're going to love it.
So back with Stephanie, the eagle-eye friend who called out Taylor on the wrong date, she calls the lab.
These people know how to use a phone. It is unreal.
Because remember, Taylor's story was like, there were 200 misprints.
Yes.
Stephanie's like, I'll be the judge of that. She calls the lab and they tell her, we don't, whatever this is that your friend photoshopped, we don't even send them. So then Stephanie goes, okay, next stop is the clinic.
And that's the clinic where Taylor got the hysterectomy. And the woman, Melissa, the manager who answers the phone, is like,
with the HIPAA laws, I told her, I said, I cannot give you any information since she used to be a patient of ours.
But what all you've told me, I can tell you this, just go with your gut.
Trust your instincts. And I left it at that.
I can't tell you anything, but I'm just telling you to go with your gut on what you think is happening here.
Trust your instincts.
Yeah.
So now Stephanie, the friend, is calling Wade's mom. Stephanie and Wade's mom are now like, they know something is up. They're working together.
They're in cahoots.
Stephanie is so obsessed that her husband's like, baby, it's 2 a.m. Like, gosh, damn, leave that shit alone, he says.
Gosh, damn, woman, turn it off.
Steph is like, I'm working.
I know, totally.
And I'm right. And no, it's Steph, true. I have been there, girl.
But Connie, the mom, is like, wait a second. We had that gender reveal. Taylor's dad was there. Her kids were there. They would know if she couldn't be pregnant and they would say something, right? Same question, Connie.
Yeah, same question. But this is when the harassing texts and emails start.
This is literally like the scary, it's almost like Scary Movie where we're getting the greatest hits from all of the craziest docs we've ever covered because this is right to unknown number.
Right. This is like, and Wade's getting them, Wade's friends. Taylor, of course, is being, you know, targeted.
It's like these the unknown text messages or unknown numbers sending text messages being like, I'm going to make Taylor kill herself like she tried to last time.
She's a fat ass. And like even the insults and the attacks are all about Taylor.
Yes.
Guess who it is though, everybody? Are you shocked? Taylor's evil mom. She's so evil.
She, like, Taylor discovers her mother is meddling, trying to ruin everything for her. And people believe it.
Yeah. And she's like, my mom, my evil fucking bitch mother is why I don't have the money for the ranch. Don't blame me. Blame my mom.
She calls the real estate people. And I'm sure they believe in hook, line, and sinker.
Well, and now we meet Debrea Jones. She went to high school with Taylor.
Yeah.
To the surprise of no one, Taylor's always been an attention-seeking nightmare.
But it is interesting to see where it started because Taylor, like me, was heavy in high school. She was obsessed with her weights and her looks.
Taylor would meet most of the boys she spoke to online. She would ask girls for pictures of themselves, neck down. But she had no shame in saying of like, oh, I'm sending it to this guy I'm talking to. You know, they're thinking, like, you're just openly asking me to give you a new picture of myself to send to some random person to catfish them.
She's asking fellow teenage high school girls for nudes.
Yes.
To send to creepy men online.
And she's just making no secret that that is her intention.
Yeah, and Debria's like, girl, no.
Like, what?
What are you talking about? But again, it's male-centered. It's
yeah.
all about attention from men.
Yeah. She gets the gastric sleeve put on and she loses a ton of weight.
That confidence was not good for her.
No.
It makes her spirit very dark.
Because when all of your confidence is based on attention from, like, people that you find attractive, like, it's always going to go to a dark place. However, I think that Taylor was born an evil monster.
She's not.
Yeah.
I don't know, what's some Southern thing? Like, she's not all...
She's not a mint julep on the farm with the horses and the...
She's 2 mints short of a julep. September 2019, Taylor is now a photographer.
But apparently she's pretty good at this.
Well, she photographs a wedding. The bride is Reagan Hancock. We meet Jessica, Reagan's mother, Emily, Reagan's sister. And they say the same thing that Wade's friend said. Like, she was super friendly. She greeted herself. She introduced herself.
Yeah.
And sister Emily says, I didn't even feel like she was a stranger. Like, I felt like we'd known each other before.
I mean, she ingratiates herself to everybody at this wedding. And in any downtime, she's complaining about trouble with an ex-husband, trying to become the center of attention at this wedding.
It didn't feel like she was just some random stranger none of us had ever met. Almost felt like she's a bridesmaid at one point because she was in all of our selfies.
Taylor's in all the selfies? What is wrong with you as a photographer?
I know. And, like, Reagan invites her to hang out with everybody after the wedding. She is getting, like, as close. Reagan is her new Mark. Like, Reagan is her new Mackenzie. Reagan is her new Stephanie. She's going to be Reagan's best friend.
Now, to be clear, she's got one fake life going on with Wade and that family. And now it's a totally different story with Reagan. And with Reagan, there's no inheritance. She's, like, you know, dealing with ex-husband drama, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
So it's a totally different story. And I want to make the note here that Reagan doesn't know anyone else that we're talking to.
That's true. Reagan is the only one not connected to any of the other social groups.
By design.
For sure.
Right? So I just want to make that clear that, like, Reagan doesn't know Wade. They are totally separate. They are two different Taylors.
Yes.
Doing two different manipulations.
Correct.
Right.
So now we jump to June 2020. It's 3 months until Taylor's due date. Taylor Googles older, cheap, silicone, pregnant belly.
And it's a fake belly that fake kicks.
So that was my question.
They exist, girl.
Oh, fucking mind blown.
I thought you were going to say fucking monster.
Monster. I can't say that enough. Because, like, the thing about it is that, like, Wade is telling us they would go to doctor's appointments, but he wasn't allowed to go in.
Because now they all believe in COVID.
Exactly.
Because he literally says, he was like, COVID, couldn't go in. Wade, you didn't want to. You didn't care. And that's fine.
100%. And if there was an appointment where he could go in, it would get canceled last minute by the doctor.
The doctor. But, like, people were feeling the baby kick. Like, this is repugnant.
This was the thing I didn't know how she was doing that, like, because people will see her with her baby belly. She's 3 months to her due date. Now, there are some pictures on Facebook where she's not wearing the belly during this time and she looks thin, and then there's some where she's wearing it. But then people describe feeling the baby kick, and I was like, what is this sorcery?
That thing exists.
Somebody says, because I do think maybe I'm being a little hard on everybody, because, like, somebody says in retrospect, why wouldn't we believe this?
Right. It's insane.
I felt the baby kick.
And even if the pregnancy was fake, no one could have imagined what was to come.
Correct. But I do think the people that, like, don't have any excuse are people like Wade. You live with this woman. She is your wife.
Yeah.
There must have been times you saw her without the pregnant belly.
Now, he says, remember Stephanie, she's up all night, like, Googling, like, tracking down Taylor and trying to catch her in a lie. Cody, her husband, who was like, bang, like, damn, like, put that phone down. He is now seeing what his wife sees.
Yes.
And he says,
I would see a picture of her or something, like, Steph would be like, look, she's skinny this day. Look here. 5 days ago, she looked like she's got 9 months pregnant, you know? So it was just some crazy jacked up junk, for sure, no doubt.
It was just some crazy jacked up junk, for sure, no doubt. And I'm like, Cody's head is still spinning.
Listen, I'm having beers with Cody. He's going to be a regular at Feral Hogs. He's not gay. He'll say no homo all the time. We'll let it go.
He's going to be one of those guys that are like, oh, y'all aren't so bad.
Y'all!
We're like,
I got some gay friends, y'all!
Yeah.
I like Cody. I think he'll be
changing
fun.
Changing
hearts and minds. One Feral Hog at a time.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, the thing about Wade, you're sitting here being like, well, didn't you see her? Didn't you see anything? He says he wasn't allowed to see her naked because she was so insecure about everything.
I have no doubt that Wade was manipulated by a master manipulator.
Yes.
I'm sure that that is real, but it just seems, this is just the beginning of the evidence that Wade is going to get. And it's going to get to the point that everybody in Wade's life, his mother, his best friend, his best friend's wife, are saying, like, open your eyes.
Well, Wade tells Cody that they haven't had sex for 5 months. Cody cannot handle it. He goes, I said, do what?
Do what?
Do what?
I know. I love knowing that Cody and Stephanie have a fabulous
now they're in.
Active sex
now life. They're in. But now that's all they're talking about.
Oh, the sex life?
At home.
Yeah.
No. Like, Taylor's lying. How yes. are we going to catch her? How are we going to save our friend?
Yeah.
I do want to say quickly, too, I have, like, a lot to say in this moment, but like it is, there's some part of it that really is so sad because I know it's fake.
Yeah.
But this could have been so beautiful for the two of them. Like
for Cody and Taylor?
For Wade and Taylor. Like,
that's
not
what I mean. Oh God, Wade and Taylor.
Not the sex.
For Cody, like, and Patrick?
Yeah. But not the sex, but like the closeness
yes.
of two people having a baby together.
Of
and
course.
Like the intimacy of that yep. and going through that experience. Like, it's supposed to be so beautiful.
Yeah. But he never wanted the kid. He didn't love her.
Let me tell you. I'm so sorry. Go ahead. Say what you were going to say.
No, that's really it. Like I'm sure there are plenty of relationships that are kind of like this, where like they're having the baby for the wrong reason. They don't like each other.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably, I guess, not a shock that they're not having sex. He probably can't stand being around her.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he never lifted up her shirt. No, because he's wearing $8 million colored glasses.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like, but literally, that's what it is.
He hated her. He didn't want a baby with her. He didn't give a shit about any of this. So like, why prove that she was lying? He wasn't even happy she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So like, why listen to friends and cause all this drama because she's exhausting when he knows it's probably not real? He doesn't even want her to be pregnant anyway.
But there is actually a very good reason to do that, Wade.
Well,
I'm not saying that Wade has blood on his hands. I'm not going that far. But when you're dealing with somebody who is this sick, and like as the due date is getting closer and closer and closer, like, I think if we can take anything away from this documentary, is that situations like this, we need to take really fucking seriously. These people are really sick who do this.
Yes.
And they need to be exposed for the good of the public. Like, letting this woman be out there and do what she ends up doing, it's like, these people have to be stopped.
Yes. What I'm going to say is twofold. It's a two-pronged approach.
Please.
I do think we need to remember that abuse comes in all shapes and sizes, right?
Yep.
So like, think about all the stories we've heard of women in Wade's situation, being bullied, being worn down, being manipulated, being lied to. Being around someone like her is exhausting.
Yeah.
And I think it's just easier to not fight with her. Easier, you know, that being said, he's in it for the money. He's
yes.
willfully ignoring things. He's making bad decisions. But I will say this. What I have learned dealing with crazy people, whether in my own life
uh-huh.
or in these documentaries.
Or in my life.
Letting them be crazy only leads to them being more crazy.
Say it again.
Letting them be crazy only leads them to being more crazy.
Yep.
Sometimes it leads to murder. Not always.
Yep.
Sometimes it just leads to bad shit. Not always murder, but sometimes it's murder.
Yep.
And the worst part is that you can't win, because I completely understand being around a crazy person and the thought process is, well, this is the devil I know and I won't confront them because that's a nightmare and there are a lot of unknowns in the situation. But if I can let them be this kind of crazy, this is the kind of crazy I know and this feels like something I can do. And that makes sense. But it's bad either way, because if you like confront them, it's an explosion. And if you don't confront them, it's an explosion unlike anything you could have imagined. So it sucks. Yeah. So my point is, whenever you see my advice that nobody fucking asked for, but the minute you see the mask fall, you have to run. You have to run, because there's no way out of this that leaves you or someone else unscathed. That's the truth.
I am triggered and speechless. Yes.
But it just lets them think, well, I can get away with this and I can get away with this. And it's not unreasonable for you to say, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I can't
or,
do another fight.
Like,
crazy.
Speaking from my own experience, like, just like putting off the explosion as long as you possibly can.
And the explosion is never, she's going to do the worst thing ever. No one is ever thinking, Wade, for all of his faults, and there are many, no one is sitting here, even Stephanie isn't like, she's going to do the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
No one is anticipating that, because it is so out of the realm of normal people's thoughts and souls.
Yeah.
Like, no one is going to think, well, if we don't stop her, everyone is thinking she's going to have to fake a miscarriage.
Right.
That's how
yes.
the story ends.
Yes, yes, yes.
Will it be an explosion?
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
But no one is expecting it to go as far as it did.
And let me just say, it's only the craziest people who never take the off-ramp.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It didn't have to be this way, Taylor.
No, I agree.
It didn't have to be this
way. I agree, and I understand that defense of Wade. I really do.
I'm just not like, defending. I'm just like giving more context.
No, it's good, and it's good for me to think of it that way because it's hard for me to overlook the literal mountain of evidence presented to him by so many people. But I understand what you're saying.
He's like, good.
Why it's still easier to avoid the explosion.
He didn't want her to be pregnant, and he's like, mountain of evidence, mountain of money. Mountain of money.
And also avoid the explosion, you know?
He didn't care.
So it's August 2020, 1 month till the due date. And I'm like, girl, what's the plan, girl?
The train has left the station long ago.
What is the plan? Oh my God, can I talk about this? We meet a woman named Kelly Maymay.
Kelly May, M-A-E, May, M-A-Y.
Her name is Kelly Maymay.
Kelly Maymay.
I'm a Western photographer. I do like photography like for Western people, seniors. I do newborns, engagements. I do maternity. Weddings, I do Western weddings only.
Western weddings only.
She goes, I do weddings, but Western weddings only. Now, look.
Kelly Maymay, don't worry.
Kelly Maymay is a total character. Her photography is gorgeous. It's not for me, but it is absolutely stunningly gorgeous. So Taylor reaches out to Kelly Maymay. She wants a Western maternity session, and she's got ideas.
Oh, I'm sure she does.
She goes, I'd love to lay on a horse's back with my belly in the air and have Wade holding my horse, looking at me. Just an idea. You know what that day on set was like.
Well, Kelly Maymay is like, she loves having her picture taken. I'm like, I bet she did.
But you know she directed every second of that fucking photo.
Nicely, because Kelly Maymay says, oh, I like told my husband how great they were.
Kelly Maymay, who only does Western photo shoots, I'm obsessed. Kelly Maymay, get into my DMs.
Kelly Maymay also says, and I did a smoke bomb with my Watusi.
What is a Watusi?
It's a type of cattle.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with the dance craze or wagon wheel Watusi or I can do them all. Which one you want to see?
Wagon wheel Watusi.
No relation.
I love cattle. God, this episode couldn't get gayer.
But she wanted to like brand it and then pink smoke was flying.
I know.
Everyone involved loved it. Not for me.
Not for you.
You know?
You and I are not good. Like when we need our next like photos taken, we're not calling Kelly Maymay.
No.
I might do some solo stuff with Kelly Maymay. Yeah.
Like the last season of The Bear just came out.
Yeah.
We watched it all. They're back to basics. I recommend it. If you were one of those people who like wasn't loving where the show was going, back to basics for the final season.
Great to know.
But like, it's all about like the stress in the kitchen. And at one point I turned to Mike, I'm like, not for me.
Yeah.
Totally appreciate it. Thank you so much for the hard work. It's just not a career I would ever want to be a part
of. I couldn't watch The Bear because I worked as a cook in a kitchen for years and years.
But same with this. Like, I'm so happy you're happy.
Well, and at the end of the photo shoot, Kelly Maymay is like, she was amazing. She said to she goes, I even told my husband, they are such good people.
They're so great.
And then she makes a face at the camera. She fooled everybody.
So, but also mirroring. I'm a photographer. You're a photographer.
Right. Yeah.
Let's work together. Meanwhile, Taylor ran the show.
So Stephanie, who knows how to use the phone, gets in touch with Mackenzie. And Mackenzie is like, girl, your instincts are right. This bitch cannot have kids. She had a hysterectomy.
Your girl doesn't have a uterus.
Girl doesn't have a uterus.
And so cut to Cody.
Yeah.
The husband who's now on his wife's side, thank God. You should always immediately be on your person's side, just saying.
Yes.
Cody says, there's no way she can have a baby, period. There's nothing down there left for, you know. And I'm like, Cody, we can say it.
Come on, girl.
She doesn't have a uterus.
He's going to be the pitcher for the feral hogs.
Cody thinks all pregnancy is in the vagina.
Yeah. No question.
Cody thinks Taylor doesn't have a vagina.
Do you think that that's what he thinks a hysterectomy is?
Cody thinks she looks like Barbie down there.
Stop it.
That's like, there's nothing down there left for, you know, means like,
Cody, no, you're right.
You should ask your wife to explain what a uterus is and what a hysterectomy means.
Yep.
All he knows is that Taylor's lying. His wife was right the whole time.
Yeah.
That's all he wants.
Exactly.
It's too gross down there. And I'm like, Cody, grow up.
Well, now we've also learned that Taylor has glommed onto Reagan. Reagan was the woman that she did the photographs for.
And she's got to move on because Stephanie's onto her.
Exactly.
She's got to move on.
And Reagan's mom is here. And she says that, like, Reagan was so all in on Taylor. She says that Reagan's mom says that she and Reagan were leaving a pregnancy checkup appointment. Reagan gets a notification on her phone and she's like, oh, and the mom's like, what? And she's like,
she said, oh, people are giving Taylor a hard time trying to tell her she's not really pregnant and that, you know, she's lying. And I was like, why? Why would they do that? She said, I don't know, mama. She said, it's just, you know, how people are. If somebody needed somebody and nobody was there, Reagan would be there.
Reagan is being a good friend, taking her side.
Yes.
All she knows, remember, all she knows is Taylor.
Yeah.
She doesn't know Wade. There is no Stephanie in her life. Mackenzie hasn't gotten in
touch
yet.
She felt the baby kick 25 times.
Taylor's keeping her separate on purpose.
Yes.
And Reagan's parents tell us about Reagan. Their names are Jessica and Marcus. Reagan had her first baby at 17. They were not thrilled.
But the thing is, her sister Emily was psyched about it because she says that Reagan just wanted to have babies like from the time she was born. And as soon as that baby was born, she was an instant, like, amazing mother. She was born to be a mother. Her mom even says after she had her daughter, she came out of her shell completely. She meets a guy named Homer.
Homer.
Homer is the antidote to Delbert. Like, Homer's such a great name. He seems
Again,
like a great
guy. Again,
if
you have a shitty Homer.
Yeah.
Or a good Delbert.
Absolutely. Words eaten.
Adjust accordingly.
Adjust accordingly. Words eaten. But she's like, she meets Homer, falls in love. They're instantly pregnant again. Everyone is so excited.
Her dad, Marcus, says that Reagan is the best mom he's ever seen.
Yes.
She was like meant for this. She loved it.
So we're back with Connie, Wade's mom. And she's like, the due date was coming up. And all of us who know that she's not pregnant, me, Stephanie, everybody, Mackenzie, everybody around.
We have reminders, alarms, we have a separate calendar saying how long is this going to go on for?
She's like, girl, what are you going to do? Everyone's assuming she's going to fake a miscarriage and that would be the end of it.
But no one has any proof.
Nobody has any proof, but like
tangible proof.
Nobody has tangible proof. Connie is like banging her head against the wall, trying to get Wade to listen to her. He won't.
Because Taylor has an answer for everything, and Wade doesn't want to rock the boat because Taylor's miserable, and he is holding out hope that the money is coming somehow, some way.
Right. And like, you know, Taylor is now trying to convince him that his whole family is against her. They just don't want them to be happy. Girl, you were never happy.
You were never
You're not happy now. You wouldn't be happy if this baby was real. It is not true.
And then Stephanie has had it finally, and she confronts Taylor herself, and she's like, girl, what the fuck? I know you're not pregnant.
To which I understand that Taylor admits it. She's like, it was my mom who made me fake this pregnancy.
But then she ended up being pregnant for real anyway. Like, and what she's saying, one, she's blaming her mom.
Yeah.
And two, it doesn't make sense. Saying, oh, she made up fake Facebook accounts, emails, everything. Stephanie's like, she sounded like an idiot.
Yes. But Stephanie, who's never met a phone she doesn't know how to use, is like, you know what? Your mother, you say? She gets in touch with Taylor's mother.
She's like, Dion in Clueless. You want to play games? That's it. I'm calling your mother.
Yes.
And she tracks down the mother. And the mom's like, what took you so long?
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this call. So she confirms everything. Yes to the hysterectomy. No to the big inheritance.
But
everything
like,
we all know.
Mom, why haven't you stepped in and done anything? And the mother says,
she was terrified because if she were to tell, Taylor would pull that granddaughter away and she would never, ever be able to see that little girl again. She was scared to say anything.
Because if I step in, she's told me she will take my granddaughter away and I will never see her again. To which I'm saying, I'm sorry, but like, that's the price you have to pay. Like maybe before this documentary was made, you can get away with that. But post this documentary, you gotta tell.
Yeah.
Now that we know what can happen, no one is off the hook ever again.
And she doesn't care about her grandson? Like, what is wrong? Like, where is this little boy?
Do you have info on the grandson in the after party?
Not really. Like, I know that they're older now. Their names are out there. I'm not saying their names.
Of course.
Like, we're gonna let them be. But, you know, it's like a mess.
Yeah.
The whole thing's a mess. And like, why isn't anyone, they never saw him, like Wade said. And then the mother only cares about the granddaughter. Like, it's very sad.
It is very weird. But so Stephanie now calls Wade and she's like, bitch, she can't have kids. And then he's like, no, her mom is lying to you because she's crazy and she's trying to break us up. Like, everyone is pulling their hair out. But I guess in Wade's defense, there is no hard evidence. Although, I guess, Wade, you could just say, lift up your shirt and let me see your stomach.
He didn't want to. He didn't care. He didn't want her to be pregnant.
But then he is a little bit culpable here.
I think he made incredibly bad choices and is willfully ignoring his best friend, his mother, all of these people saying it can't happen. And like, the money, which is so obviously not happening anymore.
And I really believe that nobody thought this would go where it goes. But after this, nobody can ever say that again.
And I think Wade maybe, I don't know, maybe is possibly thinking, well, when she can't have the baby, it'll all go away.
Yeah.
And I won't have to have the big fight.
Right.
And it'll just fall apart and all my friends can do the work for me because they were right the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think he's just hoping that this is all going to go away.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that makes sense. But never again.
No.
This is the last time because this documentary exists and we know that this should happen.
But now everyone's in a huge fight. So Wade and Stephanie are screaming on the phone. Cody, the husband, gets involved. Cody's crying, begging Wade to listen to him.
Cody is crying.
They're all like,
he's got a sensitive side.
Because Wade is being a nightmare too.
Yeah.
And like, they're all doubling down. Taylor's doubling down. But Cody, they all go no contact now. No one's talking to Wade, and Wade isn't talking to anyone else. Just what, like, Taylor wants it.
Right, exactly. And but then the due date passes. Yeah. And they say, everyone says, once the due date is here, she can no longer fake a miscarriage. So what the fuck is happening now?
Were you on time when you were born?
No. Well, my name is Patrick because I was supposed to be born on
St. Patrick's. Yes, it is. Thank you.
My name is Patrick.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be born on St. Patrick's Day, which is the 17th, so I was late. I was late by a couple days.
I was late, too.
How late?
I was 13 days late, exactly.
That's your favorite number.
21 and 13, yes.
Okay.
But I was due on the 8th, and I came out the 21st, because, like, even in the womb, I was like, no, girl, I'm waiting for the winter solstice.
I love that.
But I was pretty late, to the point where my mom and her doctor were like, you should have a plan.
So, but
figure this out.
Kids can be late, but you can't have a miscarriage after your due date.
No. I was just curious, like, how late you... Yeah, I was like 13 days. But at that point, the doctor was like, we gotta...
Also, that was the last time I was ever late. I've never been late again.
That's true. Very punctual. And here's the thing. The doctors who know that she is not pregnant and cannot be pregnant...
We felt that she had to come up with a baby somehow. So for the safety of the rest of our patients and our nursery, we did alert the hospital to be on higher alert, what was called code pink.
We really thought that if anything, she would just try to steal a baby.
But they have everyone at the doctor's on high alert on a code pink in case Taylor comes in and tries to steal a baby.
They are calling it. Like, they know that she's crazy and she's going to do something crazy.
Yeah. Because you were thinking here, like, what's the plan?
Right.
And, like, I don't think there is a plan. The attention is the plan. She loves it. And I was talking to my friend Ashley De La Rosa about this, who's a major fan of our show. She loves it. She's always texting me on Tuesday.
Aww.
We always have the same
text. Hey, Ashley De La Rosa.
Hey, Ashley De La Rosa. But she said it perfectly. She cared about being pregnant, not about being a mother.
But the thing is, she can't let her whole life, if she now doesn't have a baby and there's no like tragedy as to why she doesn't, like her whole life is over.
Right.
She has to move and change her name.
But that's what she wanted. Because you get a lot of attention when you're a pregnant, like mom to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Parties.
Yeah.
Someone buys her this God awful ugly high chair earlier.
Oh, I know, at a tag sale or whatever.
God.
But the point is, something is going to happen. A baby needs to materialize, or some reason why it hasn't needs to materialize.
And here's how you know Taylor is scrambling.
Yeah.
Because in the same day, she does two things. One, she sets the house on fire.
She sets that. It's the day that they're going to induce her. She sets her own house on fire.
Wade puts out the fire, goes back to sleep.
He puts out the fire with the garden hose and goes back to bed. He's a sleepy boy.
Hours later, she calls in a bomb threat.
Yeah.
She goes, sorry, babe, can't give birth today. He goes, okay, and goes back to sleep again.
Goes back to sleep. Wade, literally wake up, Wade.
One, Wade did not give a shit. And two, Taylor, don't you want to spread those out?
I know.
And a bomb threat on the same day?
You're going
to need one of them for later.
I know. But now Connie is like legit worried about Wade's safety. That crazy bitch just set the house on fire.
Right. So it's October 9th, 2020, 7 days past the due date, and this is where we take an incredibly dark turn.
Yeah.
Taylor sends Wade on a wild goose chase, only it's hogs. It's a wild hog chase.
But the plan for the day was...
I got dressed that morning about 3:30 or 4. We had a pen full of hogs that I'd done gathered up or bought from other trappers. The plan was we were both supposed to go load the hogs up, go drop them off, and then we were going to swing down to the Ida Belle Hospital.
They've got hundreds of hogs. They've got to drive like hours away
over state line
to sell. And then they're going to go to the hospital. And so Taylor's like, you go sell the hogs and I'll meet you at the hospital.
So Taylor was supposed to do this on the day she was going to get induced all of these hours. But what she does is she sends him on a fake 5-hour hog errand.
Wait, he gets there and the guy's like, I'm not buying any hogs from you. And he's like, but you texted me this morning to confirm. He's like, that's not my number, girl.
No, I didn't.
Even in this moment, Wade still, he's like, well, then who could have texted me? He's still not accepting it.
So Taylor fakes this transaction, sends Wade 5 hours away so she could do one of the most evil things in the entire world.
Yeah.
So Taylor goes to Reagan's house, her new best friend, the bride. Taylor photographed her wedding.
And who's like very pregnant.
She's pregnant with a little girl that she's named Braxlyn.
Yeah.
Taylor, I'm going to try to go through this quickly, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting like chills thinking about it. Taylor murders Reagan and cuts Reagan's baby, Braxlyn, out of her. Reagan was at 36 weeks. She was very close to giving birth.
Yeah. The mom is getting calls from Homer saying, have you heard from Reagan? She was texting me, but it didn't sound like her.
We'll get into that in the after party.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then when I was calling her, she wasn't answering. Then I called the job and she's not at work. Then the mother calls the daycare and the older child is not at daycare. The mother is in an absolute blind panic.
Yeah.
Pulls into Taylor's house, goes inside and finds her body. We hear without a doubt the most disturbing 911 call I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And then the dad, Marcus, shows up with his incredible friend, Mike, because there's a missing child, not just the baby that Taylor cut out of Reagan's body. There's the older child that they hear in a back bedroom. And like Marcus, the dad, he's her stepfather. And he says he realizes that in order to get to that child, he was going to have to step over Reagan's body.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do it. So Mike fucking does it. And Mike runs back there, gets the kid. Nobody knows anything.
Nobody knows anything.
And like, they tell us that they learn, they don't know where the baby is. They didn't even know the baby was like taken out of her.
So everyone here describes this, I mean, truly awful, awful, awful scene that those words don't even come close to describing it.
Yeah.
And now we're back at the beginning. So we get the dash cam, body cam footage of Taylor wearing pants, claiming she just gave birth. And on the way, now we see like a new angle. Taylor calls Wade and she's hysterical. And he answers and he's like, what?
Literally.
Where are you at?
I'm trying to get these tiles moved. What's up?
We're going to the hospital. We're going to Titus.
All right, let me finish what I'm doing. I'll call you right back.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Let me finish what I'm doing. I'll call you back.
It is.
He hated her.
But he also must be, at this point, he's like, wait, is there really a bit, like, what?
Well, like, people like Taylor are so soul-shatteringly exhausting.
Yes.
And he knows she's a liar.
Yeah.
There's family drama. There's drama with her. Now he's not talking to any of his friends. Like, Wade is a broken man.
Yes.
He hated her. But, like, can you imagine? Like, it's another call of Taylor screaming and crying in your ear.
Yes.
At one point, you're just like, can I just have a fucking break and then I'll come?
And also, like, knowing that he just sent her on this five-hour goose chase, so he probably is like—
Excuse you, hog chase.
This five-hour hog chase. Oh, my God. So he knows when he's on the phone with her that, like, finally breaking through to him.
And he is a broken man. Should he have listened to everyone? Yes. But just try to, for the sake of the context, what a nightmare his life really was.
Yes.
This is not the first time she's called him with an emergency.
No.
And it's never really been an emergency.
Yeah.
Right?
So we're back with the body cam footage in her hospital room. The cops are in there now and they're like, girl, we're past this. Like, we know there's no baby in there. We know this is murder. Wade shows up at the hospital. The cops restrain him and bring him into a room for his like own interrogation.
Yeah, they don't treat this with any care at all, way they tell this, because the cops say,
best we can tell, looks like she killed a woman, cut her baby out of her, and then passed it off as being hers.
Do what?
Mm-hmm.
Is the baby alive?
No, it died up here.
Best we can tell, looks like Taylor killed a woman and cut her baby out of her and then passed it off as being hers. And Wade goes, she did what? Is the baby alive? And the cops go, no, it died up here. She died, not it. Her name was Braxlyn, you dick.
Yeah.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know who this is and you don't know her name is Braxlyn, just say the baby. To say it feels so like...
No, I know.
Am I wrong? Like,
no,
I'm
no,
sorry.
No, you're just not wrong. It's just, I don't even like...
It's a lot.
It's a lot for everybody. Yeah, I mean, certainly, like, we are covering documentary after documentary where the cops are just, like, not handling the delivery of this information well, but, yeah, I'm not going to make excuses for them. It's bad all around.
And Wade says, like, my family was right. I've been defending her the whole time, but they always knew.
Then Wade wants to go on and on about the betrayal of him. And I'm like nowhere in his mind. I mean, he says it eventually that it's a tragedy what happened to Reagan and to the baby. But it's like, Wade, they go to his house. They're searching the place upside down. Like,
the room's like all ready for the baby, like all the baby stuff.
And we hear Taylor's police interview where they're like, was he excited for the baby? And she's like, no. It's so sad.
Yeah.
Like, not it, like Taylor's not sad. The whole thing is so sad.
Everything about it is a tragedy from top to bottom. And I do want to say, I've seen a lot of conversations about, like, we got to do better with HIPAA. Let's hold on that.
Yeah.
Because I get why they exist. This is such a tragedy. I know that people knew and nothing was done. Like, the hospital is on high alert with a code pink, knowing that she might steal a baby. Like, when do we get to the point where maybe we tell law enforcement about that?
Yeah.
However, I want to make it very clear, I'm not making an argument in support of, like, surveilling pregnant women.
Yeah.
Or taking, like, people's rights away or privacy rights. Like, a reminder that Taylor's an insane person.
Yeah.
And 99.999999% of people are not doing this.
Yeah.
It's a very slippery slope is all I'm saying.
I'm not saying this to you, so don't take it like I'm saying
I'm not.
But tell that to Reagan's mom.
No, I know. I know that. I understand that. And I know. I'm just saying it's a slippery slope.
It is.
And these are cases that make you want to scream, we got to do away with, like.
I know.
But we can't.
I know. I know. I just think that, like, and I know this isn't the first time this has happened. It certainly isn't the last time it's going to happen. Right. I know that this has happened before. But now that we're talking about it, now that it's, like, in the public consciousness, yes. At the very least, take HIPAA out of it for a second.
Sure.
When people are presenting you with the facts, this woman has had a hysterectomy, she cannot be pregnant, and her due date passes, something very bad is going to happen.
Yeah. And people have caught her in lies too many times. Everyone around Wade knows she's not pregnant.
And I'm not putting this on Wade, but he was the only one with any power to say, show me your belly. He was the only one. I'm not saying it happened because he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. If I wish anybody had listened to the obvious evidence and done something about it, he's the only one that could have maybe gotten her to acknowledge that it wasn't true.
I don't think he wanted it to be true.
Yeah.
I don't think he wanted, he hated her.
Yeah.
He'll say later he didn't never even told her he loved her. He didn't love her. He hated her.
Yeah.
And he was like, he was feeling trapped in this for whatever reason. He had agency, everyone around. He had a support system until he pushed them all away.
Yeah.
September 2022, we're at the trial. Everyone knows she did it.
Everyone knows she did it. And it really is just a matter of, like, is she going to get life in prison or the death penalty?
And then we learn, like, things we've seen a million times. Like, the lies were endless. She's pretending to be so many people using voice-altering apps. The bank is Shelly from Shell at AOL.com.
I know.
Her lawyer was Blake Lawington.
Who's that?
A guy she made up. It's a fake name. But she named her lawyer.
Lawington?
Lake Lawington.
Lake lawyer guy.
Like, that are you kidding me?
It's just wild. Like, she is sentenced to death. She's the seventh woman on death row in Texas.
Also,
like,
when she walks into the court, the prosecutor gives the side eye. She's all of us. You see her go.
Oh.
Like, she's like the most hated woman on the planet right now.
We end with Emily, Reagan's sister, and I'm sobbing at the end of this thing. Like, it is just so awful. She and her husband got married on Reagan's wedding day. She was scared to get a photographer. Yeah. And she says, I used to pray that Taylor would go to hell. And then she says, the preacher told me everyone can be forgiven, just not by us.
If she does ask God for forgiveness, I pray that she means it, because for a demon like her, a demon like Taylor, hell would be easy.
Because for a demon like Taylor, hell would be easy.
Fucking mic drop, Emily. Hell yeah, Emily.
Girl, we did Maternal Instinct.
We
got through it.
Yep.
I'm moving to the South. I'm opening Feral Hogs, the gayest gay bar in Texas.
There you go.
Don't forget, Finn, we've got a Patreon with over 500 full ad-free bonus episodes. You are doing your after party on Patreon. It is available right now at the after party level. You're going to give us all the shit that was left out of this thing.
As much as I can.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the lies are endless. She had like 30 aliases. She was doing like $20 million, like fake $20 million real estate deals. There's only so much.
Like, unbelievable.
Oh, and also, just by the way, like, just PS, the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals affirmed Taylor's conviction. Like,
yeah.
She's out of her appeals.
Thank the Lord. What are we doing next, girl?
We are doing Untold, the shooting at Hawthorne Hill on Netflix. We're dealing with a bunch of crazy horse people.
It's true. I just watched it.
From the horse people's mouths.
Yeah, they all admit
they're crazy.
It is really wild.
It's pretty nuts. Talk about your unreliable narrators.
Oh, my God.
We kind of hate everybody.
It really is. Dressage, are we even going to get into that? Like,
we have to.
I know.
Anyway.
All right, fam, we love you.
We love you. Please be safe out there and run if the mask starts to fall. You know what my little soapbox I got on before?
Yes, run.
Please, just please. We love you. Bye.
A former U.S. Olympian charged with two counts of attempted murder. His attorneys plan to argue the insanity defense.
It was only about harassment, bullying, and abuse of power.
Michael was driven over the edge by Lauren Cataract.
They are clients here at our horse stable. They're with a host. I'm not responsible for anything my other personalities do when they're threatened.